welcome to the Butts to Seats podcast, episode number 111.
Nice. I don't know what to say. I lose track of what to say about these numbers.
Well, Emily, because it's the only time we're going to have the same digit three times, you know what that means.
I think Nick just had a bad day and needs to take a shot. That's valid, and we love Nick, and this is a safe space for him.
With the squeak.
What was it?
Oh, that's just the chocolate peanut butter whiskey.
Oh, you're trash.
But my bad day aside, we're here today to talk about the June 5th, 2000 WCW Monday Nitro.
Yeah, because in 2000, nobody ever had a bad day. Definitely not in 2001.
That said, Emily, our intros are getting shorter and shorter because we are not saying what we're doing here. So, Emily, what is it we do here? We watch Hulk Hogan on
every minute of our life. We mostly just talk about Hulk Hogan. The tagline you want me to say is that, well, Nick, we take a week-by-week look at the slow but inevitable downfall of WCW in the late 90s and early 2000s. But reality is, we watch episodes of Nitro, we talk about how this is a shit show. Not just a shit show, it's a shit show. And how it leads up to pay-per-views, and why it inevitably fell apart.
We did watch a Thunder recently.
See, you know, you're right.
Luckily, like I said, on the Thunder episode, we're pretty much done with Thunders until the very last one.
So there will be no more confusion.
We will do ECW shows, but Hulk Hogan ain't showing up there.
What if he did? What if you just, like, didn't know the whole lore? You learn things as we're watching, too. So maybe he just, maybe he does show up. Maybe he's in, like, a backstage segment.
Is he also pulling a Kurt Angle where it's like, you cannot show me? Will sue you if you show me?
Maybe. You never know. Crazy things have happened.
So, Emily, before we talk about this show and all that jazz, anything going on in the world of wrestling of interest in 2024?
Mommy's back. Yeah. Rhea just made her reappearance, and we have...
Her reappearance? God. Did I throw you off too much?
Don't derail me. We're going to Raw next week, so yes. That'll be fun.
Yeah, we'll be at the one in Baltimore.
Yeah, well, obviously.
Well, we had the chance to go to SmackDown in D.C., and we went...
It's too far. That's the fun thing about people from Baltimore is like
we went to Hershey and we won't go to DC.
We will go to Pennsylvania before we go to DC. DC is technically a 45-minute drive, but I will be caught dead going to DC.
Yeah, because it's not a 45-minute drive.
Fuck that. Catch me in York, PA before I'm in DC.
We gotta figure out what to do for the Great American Bash that's in Baltimore. We have to do something fun.
Oh yeah, we gotta do something. We'll think about something.
Sneak into the arena.
Yo.
Do it from there.
What was it called in that time? Because that's our next pay-per-view, right?
It's the Baltimore Arena.
Was it the Baltimore Arena? Lame. Boring. I miss the Royal Farms Arena. CFG sucks. Sorry, I'm a CFG hater.
So, Emily, let's actually get into, you know, the wrestling and all that.
Ugh, do we have to?
Or at least, you know, yes, we do.
What's
your alternate course
let's
of action?
Let's just talk about... This week's Raw, last week's SmackDown, anything else.
We went to bed before the end of Raw. You didn't even see Bron Breakker.
So I didn't care about... Bron Breakker came out in the main event?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't care about the match.
It was a good match.
I'm sure it was. You told me to turn the TV off.
I was sleepy. We get very... Look, our lives are a lot more complicated now with the dog, and we kind of opted to do, what if we increased the Patreon schedule right around the time we get a dog?
Yeah, we're fucking stupid.
And do acapella groups and softball and...
Yeah, we are busy. So we're sleepy at 10 o'clock. So that third hour of Raw really fucking hits, okay?
Yeah, I think we could quietly admit to the world here, the last Raw we went to, we left before the main event. Granted,
we left early.
We went to Hershey Park during the day, and both of us were about to pass out during dinner.
And that was before the show had even started. We weren't even in line yet.
And then we met somebody who kept wanting to spoil all the WCW shit. And I'm like, dude, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, he was really excited.
How many times did I tell you, hey, she doesn't know what's going to happen.
Please
stop.
What about this thing that happens in 2001? Like, I don't know. Oh my God. Yeah, listen, we are more SmackDown people than we are Raw people. Unfortunately, I like the programming of Raw better than SmackDown. But that last hour, man. SmackDown being a two-hour show is... Nice. On a Friday night, too. We only got nothing going on Friday nights. Anyway.
Stop dilly-dallying.
This episode was also a two-hour show, but it didn't feel like that.
Yeah, it felt so quick. It felt great. It was breezy. It was easy, breezy cover girl.
It definitely didn't make me hate being a woman in this industry. I love wrestling after this episode.
Yeah, Emily has a lot of thoughts on this
one. Oh my God.
Emily has concerns that often the podcast is just me describing moves. Something tells me this show isn't going to be one of those.
No. On the other end, sometimes it's mostly just me bitching, and I feel like it's going to be a lot of that tonight.
So tonight's WCW Monday Nitro is live from Atlanta, Georgia on June 5th, 2000.
It's very important to note that it's in Atlanta because that's the headquarters of WCW, right?
Yeah, of just Turner in general.
Okay, of Turner. And I would like to note, prior to us getting into the actual show of this.
Yes.
On our last episode, Nick said, next week we're in Turnerland. So they're going to pull out all the stops and it's going to be a good show. So we have that to look forward to. Just like remember that.
Look.
Just keep it in your mind.
On paper, they did that. In execution, they did not do that.
You're telling me.
They hyped up a lot of like gimmick matches and like it's going to be a wild show. It's going to be fun.
You're telling me that hardcore match was on paper good? We'll get there, but I want you to defend that.
So, on the topic of being in Atlanta, it should be noted we are not in the Georgia Dome.
Why are we not in the Georgia Dome?
Because they can't sell out the Georgia Dome.
Did they sell out this arena?
No.
Oh, no.
There were 13,000 in attendance, though, so like a lot better than they've been doing. However, only 6,000 paid.
Of course. And how are we getting these free tickets? What shows do we have to go to get free tickets?
The problem is you're setting me up for a great AEW joke, but I don't want to be part of that discourse.
And I don't know enough about AEW.
They're not doing great right now. Oh. Like, monetarily, from all accounts, the show quality is still fine.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I guess that's good.
It's still full of very talented wrestlers. It's just...
So they have the ECW problem.
Yeah.
Okay. Not the WCW problem.
Now, I did say there's 13,000 attendance. I think this arena holds 19,000, so...
Okay.
Yeah. That said, I didn't visually see anything like, oof.
Yeah, I didn't notice any bald spots.
Oh, ratings-wise, and this will come up a little bit later in the show as well, but the big advertised return of Goldberg took the show down from a 3 to a 2.8.
Really?
We'll talk about it in this segment because...
Interesting.
There is something to be said for it, but Raw was also down a little bit to a 5.9. Apparently, some people in WCW were like, we're going to do a 4. I feel it. It's like, guys.
Buddy.
You don't. You're barely. I don't think you even hit a 3.5 the rest of the year.
Ugh.
I do have some backstage notes. I know you always like these and you missed them a little bit. So, a company called SFX wants
Special
to buy
effects?
WCW.
Okay.
Nah, it's not for sale. They lose $64 million this year. But, you know, company's not for sale.
What is SFX? Can you tell me more about that company at all?
They fade in and out of the story so quick that I didn't bother doing any additional.
How bold do you have to be to look at this product and say, no, it's not for sale?
We've mentioned this before, but this is the week of Paul Heyman's famous, I dare you to throw me off the air promo.
Oh.
So with the next note, I thought it was the reason why she wasn't here tonight, but she's on Thunder. Apparently Daphne has tonsillitis.
Tonsillitis? We were so similar.
And in a prophecy I predicted, she does lose the Cruiserweight title on Thunder, therefore does not make it to the Great American Bash as champion.
Damn it.
She loses it to Lieutenant Loco.
Does she lose it because she has tonsillitis?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Are you saying in kayfabe or in shoot?
Shoot. Did they take it off her because she's sick?
I don't think so.
I was down for the count for 2 weeks with tonsillitis. So they might be like, you need to go home and rest and not be able to be here.
Well, they had her wrestle the match, so. What? They didn't go, we're vacating the title.
Tonsillitis is a bitch.
More of a clerical note. Meng has been released from his full-time contract. He is now on a by-appearance kind of, you know, deal.
An ad hoc contract.
This is not important at this point. However, come January, this will be very important.
Interesting.
Or very is overstating it, but...
is anything very important in January?
Well, he jumps ship in January, and there's a note that feels like it could be kind of a big deal for WCW. However, WWF doesn't even bother saying it on the air.
Nice.
Our final note, Bret Hart's doctor sent WCW a letter saying it's like he's not going to be cleared in the next 6 months.
Mm.
So we're in June. Apparently his contract is up in November. So it's like, okay, well,
reassess in November, I guess.
Well, technically, he won't be cleared until after his contract ends.
I guess, yeah.
However, he is fired in October.
Oh, fuck you.
Yeah, we'll talk about that when we actually get to that.
Fuck you. But was it a FedEx firing?
I think pretty much. If not in actuality, but in spirit.
Oh, fair.
So with all that, we have Goldberg's big return show to get to.
Let's go.
You want to do it?
Let's go. I'm sure it'll be great and totally not fall below expectations.
Well, we start with a Tank Abbott versus Goldberg video package, like hyping it up.
Yeah, like this is going to be a big thing. Big man, tiny car.
Earlier today, Rick Steiner and Tank Abbott arrived. Okay.
Okay. Go off.
We then get the opening pyro, and there's a big-ass cage above the ring. It's the Caged Heat cage.
Did they advertise this match?
No.
Cool.
Well, not beforehand, but they announced it at the start here.
I meant that did they advertise this prior to the start of the show?
No.
Heard, Jeff.
Not on any of the television that I've seen.
Okay.
We start with Eric Bischoff and Vince Russo coming out to the ring. Commentary notes that Eric Bischoff will have the biggest announcement ever on Sunday.
Something tells me it's not going to be big at all.
Apparently in some promos Eric Bischoff has done, it's like, no one, including Vince McMahon, can do anything about it.
About what?
Yeah.
Okay. Go off.
Bischoff does his, oh, I love this crowd. I know you've missed me. I don't get this. I really just don't get it as like a heel heat thing.
What? The, I know you've missed me?
The like, oh, I love you and you love me. It's like, I don't know.
He's just being a slimy prick. That's all. Don't read too much into it.
Bischoff notes the state of the Millionaires Club, but then only mentions Lex and Liz. Like, yeah, Lex is at home, and Liz won't even come out of her dressing room, which does imply, for some reason, Liz showed up to the arena and then won't leave her dressing room.
Like, well, she's a prisoner. No, she has to be there.
Lex saved her. She finally got saved last week.
Did she not get re-kidnapped?
No.
Oh, shit. Remember, yeah, why the fuck are you here? Yeah, remember, I thought she got re-kidnapped.
No, we're done. She's gone.
I know she's gone. Like, this is their way of, like, writing her off or whatever.
No, this is their way of beating petty bitches.
Cool. So, I think I've mentioned before that Eric Bischoff and Vince Russo's music that comes out is, it's a parody of, not parody, it's Carry On My Wayward Son.
It's just Bischoff. They technically have different themes.
Oh, okay. Well, whatever song they come out to tonight is Carry On My Wayward Son.
Which
but it's not.
Which I also guess that Russo's one was actually too close to Iron Man, the one we start our shows with, because on the network it is not that.
Oh, interesting. But I came up with a name for the song that Bischoff comes out to.
Oh, okay.
Because it's not Carry On My Wayward Son, it's Stay Put, My Stationary Daughter.
I was ready for some Hogan and Arrow, something.
Brother. Stay Put, My Stationary Brother.
This is your version of the Welcome to the Rainforest Cafe.
Yeah, exactly.
Bischoff books Scott Steiner versus Vampiro, and Kevin Nash will be running the New Blood Gauntlet. And with that, I was like, oh no, is it this?
The gauntlet implies, to me, multiple one-on-one matches that take a long time. Correct?
Technically, there's two ways to be a gauntlet, but you are correct. Okay. It is either the winner, regardless, advances versus this one person has to beat X amount of people.
Yeah, okay.
For some reason, both are called a gauntlet match, and I'm like, I feel like there should be a different name for one of the two of them.
Yeah, but it'd be implied that you would need more than, say, like 5 minutes to run the gauntlet.
You'd think.
Okay. Heard, Chef.
If Nash loses or any members of the Millionaires Club interfere, he loses the title shot. Eric Bischoff then books world champion Jeff Jarrett against Sting. And then Russo grabs the mic, says, 8 months ago, I had to move to Atlanta from New York for work.
New York.
It's been the worst 8 months of my life. And I'm like, I know you mean living in Atlanta, but kind of sounds like you're just talking about working for WCW.
Yeah.
You did not distinguish enough.
No. Atlanta's a fine enough place. You don't have to hate it.
He then calls out John Rocca.
Okay, who the fuck is John Rocca?
He's a fucking pitcher for the Braves. I knew you were going to fucking be entirely lost on this.
He called out John Rocca for dogging New York or something?
Yeah, so there was a rivalry at the time of the Yankees versus the Braves. They played a couple World Series against each other.
Okay.
But as soon as he mentioned John Rocca, I'm like, Emily's gonna be so confused.
Lane, man, stop talking about other sports. Talk about wrestling. No one in that audience gives a fuck about the Braves right now.
Russo also notes the cage above him and says he and Flair are going to Space Mountain. And I'm like, I don't.
Doesn't that mean fucking?
Yeah. We also had this when he invaded Flair's home. Like, do you not know what Space Mountain is?
I don't think he understands the euphemism that Ric Flair is making. Because it sounds like he wants to go to Space Mountain with Ric Flair, which would imply he wants to have sex with Ric Flair. But then there's also the, like, Ric Flair calls his dick Space Mountain. So going to Space Mountain feels weird, but, like, Rick says he's going to Space Mountain, but aren't you always at Space Mountain if your dick is Space Mountain? Like, but then your bedroom is also Space Mountain because you're taking ladies to Space Mountain. I'm like, can we leave Disney World out of this?
I like the Tower of Terror. Unrelated, just, you know, that's the best ride.
I don't think anybody should be calling their...
I'm not calling my dick the Tower of Terror.
I don't think anybody should liken their dick to Tower of Terror.
I wasn't doing that. I just said I liked the ride.
There in the context of this conversation, you were.
Bischoff then books himself versus Terry Funk for the hardcore title.
Why?
And then says Goldberg screwed up his plans to take out Nash. He tells Goldberg to take care of his business tonight and then go home for the night. He just says go home, and my brain had to actually process, like, okay, you mean for the night, not like... have this match and then retire.
Yeah, go home does not mean retire inherently. I mean, you're in Atlanta. A lot of people probably have houses in Atlanta. Like, go home.
Well, Steve Austin took his ball and went home. It's like... Yeah.
No one told Steve Austin to take his ball and go home.
Bischoff threatens to suspend Goldberg if he interferes in Nash's match. Russo then grabs the mic and just starts, like, going on an anti-Goldberg tirade. And Bischoff's like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, this felt kind of weirdly out of place to me.
Yeah, Russo says he has two words for Goldberg, does the crotch chop, and says, spear this, baby.
That's three words.
Goldberg then comes out to the ring, attacks four of R&B security, spear and a jackhammer, more security comes out and immediately backs down. Why the fuck did you have Goldberg come out here
Why
now?
The fuck do we even have
Stop
security?
Stop ruining his returns.
That's a good point.
The whole thing is, he's going to face Tank Abbott.
And let him face Tank Abbott. Let that be his big return.
Yeah.
But also, can we talk about the state of R&B security?
You say that like it haven't been a joke this entire time.
Stop trying.
We noted the discrepancy between actual security and R&B security.
What was the discrepancy?
That, like, actual security, like, okay, well, no, we will actually put a stop to things versus True. Being feeder for the faces.
Yeah.
If you had sent R&B security to stop Vampiro from lighting that fire, that building would have burned down.
Oh, absolutely, it would have.
So we have a handful of matches for later. Notably, one inside the cage, because we get multiple cage matches later, and we were both very confused.
Yes, there were too many cage matches, and it was very weird. Like, they weren't... It didn't make any sense. But, like, you can say that about the whole show.
Backstage, Eric Bischoff yells at Russo with the cat. Jeff Jarrett comes in and whinges. Billy Kidman whinges. Comes in and whinges.
Lots of whinging. Everybody's mad about everything that Russo has said.
Billy Kidman wants a match with both Hogans.
Why?
Doesn't matter.
He doesn't get it.
Doesn't happen. But Tori Wilson storms out.
I really didn't understand anything that was happening with that storyline at that moment. Like, I guess I did understand, but it wasn't being told well. So, like, Tori storming out, like, whose side is she on? Who fucking knows?
Well, speaking of who the fuck knows... Next up, we get our tag team title match. It's new champions Sean Stasiak and Chuck Palumbo versus Chronic.
I will never call him Perfect Sean, and neither will commentary, so.
So, yeah, new WCW tag team champions, the event in Perfect Sean.
God.
On Thunder, it was announced if Chronic gets DQ'd, they'll lose the titles.
So they got DQ'd and lost the titles.
Yeah, but it was, like, only mildly screwy. It just came off way more like Bryan Adams is a fucking idiot.
Well.
Like, the pin is literally being counted, and he grabs the muscle flexor and goes, oh, I'll hit him. Like, literally, he's down for the count. Like, nah.
Literally down for the count.
Everyone starts brawling. Adams and Stasiak go up the ramp. Adams hits a vaulting shoulder block. Bryan Clark hits a meltdown and then just doesn't go for a pin. It's like, that's your old finisher, dude. Like,
oh, was it his finisher?
Yeah, he literally set up for the whole crowd. Like, watch this thing. Doesn't go for
Doesn't
the pin.
Doesn't matter.
Then the cat comes out to the ring, but stops on the ramp. Adams hits a full Nelson slam. Palumbo comes in the ring, hits a super kick. The ref stops Clark from getting the ring to, like, help his partner. It's like, both other guys are very clearly in the ring in your line of sight. You're like, well, you can't help him.
Can't come see on. Him.
Stasiak holds up Adams, and Palumbo actually hits a diving shoulder block. It was like, oh, we were really ready for the one thing they didn't want to happen.
But yeah, it actually hit. It was very, it was kind of surreal.
Stasiak goes up top, hits a soft diving crossbody. Adams hits a spinning backbreaker and makes a side to Clark, who cleans house, and everyone starts brawling on the outside of the ring. Then we get the cat going into the ring and, like, putting the referee in more or less a chokehold, going, count the count out.
But he was. He never gave an indication that he would not.
Yeah, like, it's like, enforce the rules. The cat's not doing anything to be like, be screwy here. It's like, enforce the rule.
This felt very odd to be the thing that they're forcing. Because, like, the way I see it, this would just be Charles Robinson doing his job. And he didn't have, he didn't indicate that he would, you know.
It wasn't Charles Robinson.
Was it not Charles Robinson? I thought it was.
But, like, also, Clark and Palumbo fucking disappear into the crowd. Like, yes, that's a count out.
Yeah. Even if we're not standing in the middle of the ring going, one, two, like, it's a count out.
Like, no one's making an effort to get back in the ring. It's not. Quick, count them right now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You're like, no.
So, are we supposed to believe that Eric Bischoff sent the cat out to do this? Because this doesn't make sense for even Eric Bischoff to want to do it.
Emily, I have one annoying potential explanation for this. No. Oh, it's the new WCW. We're relaxing the rules. People don't want to see GQs.
But this is the opposite of relaxing the rules, though.
They're relaxing the count out rules.
But they're not.
Well, I'm saying normally they would be.
Oh, because the cat
yeah.
was there.
That's my only guess.
That wasn't ever a thing, though. That was never a thing.
By the way, I think what you're thinking of is Charles Robinson in a later match just counts normal. And guess what? It's fine.
True. Okay.
They get back in the ring.
Whatever they were going for with this did not land.
Yeah, Adams throws Stasiak back in the ring, and the cat's like, nope, that's 10. You lose. Like, that's one thing. But the weird setup for that just didn't work. So Stasiak and Palumbo retain by countout. Everyone brawls. Chronic grabs a table, and we cut away.
Yeah, like, as they're setting up the table, they're like, oh, backstage is more important. I'm like, could have seen somebody go through a fucking table. That could have been a cool spot. We'll never know.
You know when you know WCW is in trouble when you can't even get the screwy finishes right.
Right?
So despite the fact that they clearly don't want Chronic to be tag team champions, Chronic is booked for a number one contenders match on the pay-per-view.
Excellent.
So, yeah.
Fear not, though, because we do get to go backstage and check in with Tori and Billy and look into their relationship problems, because I know you had questions.
Yes, because Kimmon is scolding Tori for embarrassing him. And then, of all people, Major Guns comes in and is like, don't talk to her like that.
Yeah.
And Kimmon just calls her a dumb bitch. Like, oh.
This felt very random. But we also, it comes out later that Billy is still very much with the Filthy Animals, which is a warring faction with MIA. So, like, I guess it makes sense.
We'll get that in, like, 3 minutes. Well, yeah. I think Billy Kidman was more like, why is anyone sticking their nose in my business? I don't think it was a MIA thing here.
I guess that's fair. But it didn't feel as random because of that.
But Major Guns just runs off, like, crying.
Yeah, I thought she was a little bit tougher than that. She's wearing camo. She is a major.
Pamela Paulshock interviews Kevin Nash, who's just arriving.
Pamela is becoming, like, my favorite character.
So, Emily, I need to ruin Pamela for you.
I'm waiting for Kevin Nash.
Kevin! Do you remember how we have the ongoing argument about the NWO women and the Steiner women all being the same people?
I don't want to talk about it. Yeah.
Pamela Paulshock was one of the NWO women.
Okay. Okay.
So, we've actually seen her before.
She never had a name.
Wait, if she's part of the NWO women, Kevin Nash really should have known who she was.
He wasn't paying attention. He didn't care. They didn't have a name. They weren't real.
But yeah, she tells him about his match, and he's like, wait, is Goldberg here? Yeah. Then I'm the last one here. My gimmick's alive.
What gimmick?
I don't know. Being lazy.
Is that his gimmick?
That's his gizimmick. I mean, they did note that with the gizimic of Nash not being here yet. However, he's not the last one here. Someone else shows up later.
Oh, your gimmick is dead, brother.
But yeah, I'm like, okay, why was this even remotely a thing?
I think with all these women coming back into the company, like Tigress has all of a sudden come back, I think that something happened in accounting and they realized that they still had all of these random women on payroll.
Yeah, so they have an accounting. It's called we're on track to lose $62 million.
Yes, and I think Russo and Bischoff were told you need to justify the employment of these women and it can't just be for eye candy backstage. So they're like, well, shit.
And I hate to tell you, you did all of that on the back of, I like Pamela Paulshock.
They gave She's her not a job. Just eye candy. No, no, I'm saying like not even on camera, just like a groupie, essentially. They can't just be traveling with them for funsies. So they gave her an on-camera job.
Yeah, we still, on that front, we still haven't gotten to, I will never remember her name, but I know she has one on-screen appearance, apparently. The woman who apparently almost ran WCW, according to her, and it got a whole section of the Nitro book.
Kimberly Page?
No, somebody's like, who's like a Kiss groupie, and all of a sudden, like, almost ran the company. I'm like, what the fuck? Her name was like Lenita Erickson or something.
How did you just pull that name out of your ass?
I don't know, but yeah, it's the one section of that book that I'm like, I think you got worked, Guy Evans.
Maybe at the end of this podcast run, when we are like in between shows, maybe I'll do a little book report. I'll read Death of WCW. I'll read the Rope Opera. I'll read the Nitro book. Like, I'll read them all, and we'll talk about them. I know. I did that. I've done my waiting. 12 years of it in Azkaban. I don't need to do it again.
But anyway, in the locker room, the Misfits in action report for duty. Major Guns isn't here, but then turns up crying because Billy Kidman yelled at her.
She's like sobbing.
Yeah. Jay Bro suddenly appears and is like, our mission now is to kick Billy Kidman's ass.
Because she's crying. Like, pull your shit together, woman.
I do want to issue a correction.
Oh.
He is still Captain Huge Erection.
Oh, okay.
Booker T apparently promotes him at some point because somehow G.I. Bro is one of the leaders of this group now.
You know,
if not the leader.
I don't know what G.I. stands for. I should because I'm a military kid, but I don't know what G.I. stands for. Grain Inspector!
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God! It all comes full circle, brother.
I think he was in the crowd watching that show. So.
Oh, shit. Okay. He was there. He was inspired.
He was one of the guys drinking the beer in the back. Just like, fuck, I don't give a shit.
Great inspector. Great inspector. Guys, I have a great idea for our gimmick.
Before we go to the ring, we see Scott Steiner and Kevin Nash hyping up Goldberg for his match. Then in the ring, we get G.I. Bro with the Misfits in action coming out. And by that, I mean, it's G.I. Bro coming out, and the Misfits happen to follow.
With a new song.
I think it was just Booker's song.
Oh, okay.
Booker calls out Kidman, and I'm like, doesn't Kidman have a match with Hulk Hogan later? What happened to that?
It doesn't happen. That's what happened.
That's what doesn't happen.
Yeah, he was told, yeah, fucking right. Figure something else out tonight.
No, he was told, do whatever
no,
you
I
want.
Know. I know on camera what he was told.
So, yeah, Booker calls out Kidman after a little too long. The Filthy Animals come out to what I'm pretty sure is a new theme.
Olale!
And then Kidman is with them. We're like, what the fuck?
Where there is Conan, there is new music.
Kidman agrees to the match. So we get G.I. Bro versus Kidman. A match we've seen a lot before, or a decent amount before, and really liked. And
on paper, this is a good match.
We know not to be hopeful anymore. Mm-hmm. Despite my Goldberg comments last week, we know. We get a Harlem sidekick early. Kidman hits Kidman faction on a distracted Booker. Scissor kick and a spin-a-rooney. G.I. Bro sets Kidman up in the corner and tells Major Guns to get in the ring. Ref is fine with this.
Why?
Tori Wilson then comes out to, like, casually stop her. And then low blows Billy Kidman, turning on him.
That was impressive. That was unexpected.
Yeah, it's kind of done shittily because Kidman's like, oh, I was wearing a cup. Like, what? Like, Kidman no-sells the turn. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Okay, good for you for wearing a cup. Like, come on now.
And then he turns into a bookend and loses. Like, what the
This could have been a best bit. And it was ruined by the women's interference, which sucks because I am always a champion for the women, especially in this kind of this company and whatever they can do that is done well. But, like, this should have been my best bit.
At least Billy Kidman didn't try to, like, pull his dick out.
Thank God, yeah. Yeah, they're ruining my boy for me last week for making Ray a horn dog. Like, let's not ruin everybody.
Post-match, everyone gets in the ring and brawls. Kidman hits everyone with a chair, and the Filthy Animals are left standing. So, who's the real winner, brother?
Olale. I really don't know why I expected more from that.
Because it could have, just, it's the fact they weren't given any sort of time. But
we should know. We should know better, Nick. Yeah,
shitty finish aside, it's like, okay, well, if you give them 8 minutes and then do that, as opposed to two minutes,
give or take. We should know better, though.
Let's go to our hardcore title match. It is Terry Funk versus Eric Bischoff with Ernest the Cat Miller.
I apologize in advance because I'm going to be incredibly negative for the next like 5 to 7 minutes.
It may even be longer than that. So I'm going to tell you the events as they happened.
Oh my God.
So the Cat hits a cartwheel kick into a chair to Funk very early. The Cat then breaks out nunchucks, which he hands to Eric Bischoff. Funk hits a trash can shot on the Cat and then uses the trash can as a shield for Eric Bischoff's strikes. Funk hits a trash can shot on Eric Bischoff, and the Cat brings Eric Bischoff to the back. Terry Funk follows, and the camera doesn't. That's like the one thing with every hardcore match is the camera will follow.
They go backstage as if to continue, as most Terry Funk matches have. Like, they don't stay in the ring entirely. They usually go backstage, or at least on the ramp, or wherever, on the wings. This time, what happens, Nick?
Miss Hancock comes out to the ring.
Sure!
Snoochie boochies, Tony!
Sure!
Fuck you, Mark Madden.
Sure!
He says it later, too, when she comes out again. I'm like,
fuck this. Fuck the match, I guess.
She just dances until she's interrupted.
Okay, so, I'm sorry. The match went full fucking stop. Eric Bischoff and Terry Funk and the Cat are just backstage brawling, apparently, supposedly. Instead of following them backstage to get the action, they sent Stacy Keibler and her legs that are still going to this day to the ring to just wiggle. Because she wasn't dancing, let's be real. She was wiggling. For why?
So that Kimberly can interrupt with Mike Awesome.
Thank God Kimberly's here.
Well, Kimberly says that Stacy's trying to steal her spotlight.
She wasn't part of this segment at all.
Emily, everyone here came here to see her.
Kimberly is stealing the wrestler's spotlight, if anything, because it's not her fucking match.
Kimberly insults Stacy and hits her with a clipboard.
And shatters the clipboard.
Stacy fucking no-sells this. Like, up in a second, I want a match. Like,
what? You want a match? There is a match happening. Can we go back to that match?
Well, she also tells Kimberly to bring her fat ass back to the ring. She's called me fat. Yes. Okay.
Both of these women are maybe 100 pounds soaking wet.
Kimberly
like,
says that she's going to give Stacy a fat lip later. Apparently, this is going to lead to a mixed tag match. I really read this as
one-on-one.
Yeah. So, Kimberly and Mike Awesome go to leave. Terry Funk and Eric Bischoff then appear back on the stage. Notable New Blood member, Mike Awesome, sees this and goes, eh. Like, just lets it happen.
Yeah, no, I'm still so focused on the Kimberly and Stacy of it all. Because, like, fuck this match. Fuck their match. Fuck that whole conversation that just happened. Calling each other fat asses? Like, how juvenile. Like, come on.
Only one person's allowed to talk about fat asses, and then it's Scott Steiner.
This is so shameful. This makes me want to die a little bit. This makes me embarrassed to be a woman in wrestling.
I keep telling you, we need to review Evolution. You keep going, no, it's fine.
I think I just need to watch Evolution on my own to remind myself that women can do great things. That's why I watch the current product of WWE, because the women are doing good things.
Well, hey, 5 months from now on the Patreon, we're going to do a little head-to-head fan vote. So we'll see what each of us puts forward. So Funk wheelbarrows Eric Bischoff into the ring and then takes out the Cat. Funk DDTs Eric Bischoff and we cut away to backstage.
Sure.
It's Vince Russo telling the Mamalukes to go stop this.
How many times are we going to cut away from this hardcore title match to do something else?
Terry Funk then grabs a mic and says he's going to show Eric Bischoff his ass.
We are in the middle of a match, my dude.
So he goes to stink face him, more or less. The Mamalukes come out to the ring, beat down Funk.
Where the fuck have the Mamalukes been?
Yeah, they've just kind of, like, Disco left them, and that's kind of been it.
They vanished.
Tony Marinara is, like, off in ECW, fucking up in his neck.
I forgot about Tony Marinara.
Well, okay, so if you forgot about Tony Marinara, I do feel the need to remind you. So Johnny the Bull goes on to wrestle in TNA as Relic.
I'm
like, I don't know if you're aware of this, but Relic is killer spelled backwards.
I actually forgot.
By the way, I did write in my notes, make relic joke.
God damn it.
That's what's going next to Scott Norton. It's a photo of relic. And I'm going to have the photo backwards.
No, you just have to like put a mirror on the other side of the room so we have two pictures.
He's like, no, it's a mirror next to Scott Norton so you can see him backwards.
God, hate it here.
Big Vito hits a diving elbow onto a chair on Funk's face, and then they hit a trash can lid on top of Funk's crotch. Impaler DDT to Funk, and they pull Eric Bischoff on top of Terry Funk for the pin, so your new hardcore champion is
Eric fucking Bischoff.
As Mark Madden fucking comes.
I was so taken by the stupidity and chaos of this match, I didn't even see the finish. Eric Bischoff came out later with the belt and was like, oh, he won, I guess.
So, on that front, Emily, can I make this even worse?
I don't think you can.
On Thunder, off screen.
He loses the belt.
No, he just gives it to the Mamelukes.
Fucking sure.
So, yeah, it's like, oh, Freebird rules. Either one can defend it.
Oh, my God.
So, Eric Bischoff doesn't even fucking lose this title. He just gives it away, again, off screen.
So, for those listening at home, this show has done two things. It has ruined Booker T and Billy Kidman, and it has now ruined a hardcore match. And it has ruined women.
So yeah, women are in there.
The gender as a whole, women.
Why? Can it ruin family? Because outside, a limo arrives. It's Ric Flair, Reed Flair, and Beth Flair.
Are they going to get kidnapped?
Actually, no.
There was no kidnapping on this show.
It wasn't even an attempt.
Good job, guys.
Our next match, it is Scott Steiner versus Vampiro. And you were already losing your mind. And I honestly, it was so unhinged, I couldn't even take notes. So for the first time in a while, here is one Mr. Scott Steiner.
Well, me and my freaks came in town a little early because we heard hot. Atlanta love to party.
Well, he's right.
So we went down to this club called Tongue and Groove, and this freak comes up to me and says she's been looking for love in all the wrong places.
Tongue and Groove?
That's a hell of a lot of things to say to me. So I look in her eyes and I say, I might not know how to love you, but I damn know sure how to touch you. So why don't you quit lusting it and let me bust it. So I took her back to my place, and I gave her this feeling that I knew she hit the ceiling, and she called me the big bad booty daddy.
He is the greatest man alive.
So this goes to all my freaks out there. Big Papa Pump is your hookup. Holler if you hear me.
Nick, I think we should cancel the podcast.
No, come on.
I think I'm done. I think I need to be done.
It's going to be great. Look, at the very least, once you're tapped out, we're just going to swap to live commentary on the episodes.
Oh, no. I was literally turned face to the wall at this point. I'm just like, what is happening? What am I doing with my Sunday evening? Because this was a weekend for us. We watched this on a weekend.
This Steiner promo, like, he's not known for being the most, like, clear, but like this is one of the most unintelligible.
I'm a genetic freak. My body.
But keep in mind, the promo you just heard was for all of the Turner higher ups in Atlanta.
Yeah, bear in mind. Also, remember what I said about taking note of what Nick said last episode?
So Vampiro comes out with the gas can and a blowtorch.
Thank God Vampiro's here, because that'll make things better. Maybe he will light the whole building on fire and we can be, like, cleansed of our sins.
Jesus Christ. Steiner beats Vampiro down in the corner, dodges a spin kick, hits a belly-to-belly and a press slam. Vampiro takes that press slam on, like, his fucking feet. Like, nah, I'm not taking that bump.
Not at all.
Vampiro gets his foot up on a charge and hits a kicking combination. They go brawl around ringside until Steiner hits three chair shots.
No.
Do I have to retire DQ?
I think you do.
The fact that they constantly, like, the relaxed rules.
The rules are lenient. I don't know.
Steiner awkwardly slams Vampiro through the announce table, but Vampiro gets up pretty quick. Hits chair shots of his own. Charles Robinson here, doing a, like a little bit of a count out, or at least pretending.
He's pretending.
Yeah, but like, hey, get back in the ring. One. Like, do the banter. Do the banter we make fun of the
I was gonna say,
you gotta do it. Well, to be fair, we criticize that when it's like hand on the ropes.
True.
The count for the outside, that's a lot looser.
I guess that's true.
I think it's in Mexico, it's a 20 count.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's something ridiculous.
Like outside the ring?
Yeah.
They kind of encourage it at that point, I guess.
But I think they do closer to an actual count is the thing. I think their 20 count might be faster than the American 10 count.
Jesus.
It's, you know, it's the metric system.
Oh, it doesn't make any sense. We're Americans. It doesn't make sense in our brains.
Steiner goes for a Brett's rope belly to belly, but Vampiro pushes him off and hits a sloppy spin kick. Vampiro tries for a blowtorch shot. It gets countered, but then he hits one immediately afterwards. So Medasia gets up on the top rope and, like, mostly hits a diving crossbody.
Atta girl, Medasia.
Yeah, fucking Vampiro no-sells it, though, and is like, I'm going to set her on fire. Like, what?
We didn't say all that.
Yeah, he, like, lumbers over her, like, up the ramp, and, like, actually, like, steps on her at one point. Like, what the fuck? So Vampiro's getting a little too hot here, so we need to call the horny police.
Send him straight to horny jail with those bonks.
Yeah, Sting comes out and just like bonk with the fucking baseball bat.
Yeah, Sting. Just like, hey, the fuck you doing?
Throws him back in the ring. Steiner hits a belly to belly, Steiner recliner, and Scott Steiner wins.
This one goes out to all the genetic freaks.
I feel like you could have had this for the US title, you know, without really losing anything.
Probably.
For some reason, R&B security then come down to the ring, so Steiner and Sting can beat them up for a pop.
Sure.
Like, what?
Sure. Why not?
The actual match of this, I guess in hindsight, thinking about it, wasn't that bad.
I guess not. It was passable. It was fine. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just forgotten because...
It's not a best bit.
Yeah, no. But, well, we'll see. The Sting Vampiro feud has been spinning its wheels for a little bit. Again, one of them is going to set the other one on fucking fire on Sunday. This did not feel like a big go-home angle for that.
No, not at all.
And fun fact, we'll see Sting later. No relation to any of this.
Why does he show up in later?
He has a match. He's facing Jeff Jarrett later.
Jarrett. Oh my God, I forgot he has a match.
Yeah,
this is not a good go-home show, all things considered.
I mean, think about it. Billy Kidman, in his segment earlier, doesn't interact with Hulk Hogan at all.
No.
Chronic doesn't face who they're going to fucking face on Sunday.
Right.
There's just a lot of interaction of people you're not feuding with for people on the show.
Yeah.
That said, no David Flair with Miss Hancock earlier.
True.
Daphne does call him out on Thunder a little bit, though.
Oh, really?
It's like, oh, with Miss Peacock.
Miss Peacock. Peacocking.
So, it is now the advertised top of the hour. It's time for the big return of Bill Goldberg.
Yeah, you definitely didn't see him earlier.
Facing Tank Abbott.
Here it goes. It's happening.
Goldberg does get his full actual entrance. Tank bails as soon as the bell rings, but it's also like still mid-Goldberg entrance lighting, so I don't even know if he knows the bell rang.
I don't know. I didn't think about that.
Goldberg hits a thrust kick, big punches, hip toss slam. Rick Steiner comes out, hits Goldberg with a chair a few times, including busting open the back of Goldberg's head.
Yeah, you can't blade the back of your head.
No, but, you know, relaxed rules. Other guy just comes in with a weapon, not a DQ.
You gotta let it go, man.
Tank and Rick beat down Goldberg. Kevin Nash's music hits. He tries to come in from the crowd, but there's not a clear path, so he keeps having to push people out of the way. He trips up Rick Steiner. Goldberg hits his spear. Jackhammers Tank Abbott. 1, 2, 3. Goldberg wins his big return match.
Honestly, this is exactly what it needed to be.
Yeah.
Quick, clean. Goldberg lays out Tank. Done.
I will actually say, I think they made it more complicated than it needed to be.
Yeah, probably with
Rick
and Kevin did not need to be there.
Yeah, because also Rick Steiner, I guess we said, you know, oh, it's the chair shot, should have been a DQ. He's actively in the ring stomping Goldberg.
Yeah.
Like, what's the line?
No, this could have been, they could have shaved 30 seconds off this match and it still would have been effective. So for that, I'm not mad at this match. This is the first time I will say that I am not mad at a Tank Abbott match.
Yes,
because Tank Abbott just got destroyed and I loved it. If this was anything other than what it was, I would have been pissed.
I think the Tank Abbott-Sid match wasn't the worst, but it was stupid because they were building him to fight Goldberg, so why?
Yeah, so like, what was the point of doing this?
Yeah.
Is Sid coming back soon?
No.
Damn.
Yeah, we're about to get a lot of people vanishing.
Excellent.
Within the next week or so.
Because our undercard is so strong.
Back from commercial, Goldberg tells the doctor to stitch him up. Okay. Then get Pamela Paulshock interviewing Kimberly. Kimberly is generally bitchy to Pamela and tells Miss Hancock to find another gangly teenager to back her up.
She never had a teenager.
Kimberly's calling Stacy a teenager.
Oh, she's calling her a child. Okay. I guess
Which
I get it.
I thought that was setting up David Flair.
Mm, true.
Of all the gangly teenagers on the fucking show.
True. God, what if Reed came out? We know he's here.
I'd buy a, like, 13-year-old simping over Miss Hancock.
Oh, yeah. Obviously. I would too. I'd believe that.
Let's go to our world champion. It's Jeff Jarrett versus Sting. Yeah, he is just a random match, middle of the card. It's going great
it's
for him.
Weird, man. Honestly, though, Jeff Jarrett versus Sting, another one on paper. Probably good.
Yeah. Sting drops Jarrett on the ropes and then misses a Stinger splash, but immediately recovers, clotheslines Jarrett. Sting catches Jeff Jarrett on a leapfrog and powerbombs him. Jarrett pushes Sting off a Scorpion Deathlock and starts working over Sting with a steel chair on the ramp. And dear God, this man has one move for the entire middle of this match. It is edge of the chair to the ribs.
Yes.
That is all he fucking does for probably wasn't that long, but it just feels like the entire middle of this match is only that.
But you know what? If that's the only gripe we have, it's not bad.
Well, that's most of the match because back in the ring, Sting tries for a sunset flip. The referee...
You gotta let it go, brother.
No, the referee just tries to kick Jeff Jarrett's hands off the ropes, fails the first time, and then has to do it a second time. And I'm like, he's not doing anything bad. He was just using a steel chair. That's fine. Hold the ropes on a sunset flip. That doesn't work for me, brother. That doesn't actually pin Jarrett, but then Sting actually gets him down. And the sunset flip finally pays off. Sting gets his shoulders down for the pin.
Woo!
For some reason, Sting is then given the world title belt.
Sure.
Eric Bischoff comes out and is like, I literally never fucking said this is a world title match. I went back to watch, see it in the promo, see the start of this match. They never advertise it as that. Mm. They never say it's that.
Okay.
He doesn't hold up the title at the start. This is just at the end. Oh, okay. Yeah, you didn't win the title. Which, of all people, Sting should be fucking fine with, because Sting has had the reverse of this happen to him at Halloween Havoc, when he said, hey, I'm going to put on a match, because Hulk Hogan just laid down for me. Let's do a match. Goldberg answers. Goldberg won, got given the title, and he's like, oh, what the fuck? This is bullshit. So, Sting, you should fucking know better. And honestly, Sting was almost my goddamn MVP. But the fact that he did this bullshit, no.
Okay, so this is not my best bit. Never mind. I'm just going to scratch that out.
This also is a match wasn't great.
This was obviously the best match on the card. Are you fucking kidding me?
Well.
Finally, some good fucking food is my only note on this whole match.
Sting says that Jarrett will go to the Great American Bash in a body bag. And then just beats the shit out of the world champion for a while. Puts him through the announce table, locks in a Scorpion Deathlock, hits him with the guitar, knocks him off the fucking ramp. Way to make your champion look strong going to the pay-per-view. And then during the break, he's fucking put into an ambulance.
This was the best match on the card tonight.
I don't even think it was.
Oh, I do. This is easily best bit.
We'll get to it.
This is another one of those matches that reminds me that Jeff Jarrett and Sting are good wrestlers. They're putting so many shitty storylines with stupid people that make them look lesser, and then they get together and they show that they can fucking wrestle and they're good. Like, I stand by it. This is the best card on the match. Match on the card.
I'm going to disagree just with that whole middle bit. And yeah.
I would love to hear what you think is the best bit.
We'll get there.
Is it fucky? It's fucky.
A little bit.
You did a fucky best.
It's the actual match of our next match.
Mm. Oh, really?
Well,
Nicholas.
The match, the real portion of
Nicholas.
The match.
Nicholas.
Next up, we get Mike Awesome coming out to the ring to actually a new theme.
With a microphone, though. They made him talk.
Well, his theme also has lyrics.
Oh, God.
Yeah, Awesome says the clock is winding down on DDP's career. It says DDP will be lucky because something sponge baths. I don't know, man.
This whole time, I'm just thinking, please don't bring Kimberly out again. Please don't bring Kimberly out
He introduces
again.
Kimberly.
Fuck.
Now, did you catch Kimberly's nickname for Mike Awesome?
No. Oh, Muscle Man?
Mr. Muscles.
Mr. Muscles. I really hope DDP powerbombs her through a table, like, soon.
You want him to Mae Young hit her?
Yes, I do.
I literally wrote my notes, oh, it's Kimberly versus Miss Hancock. Nope. Miss Hancock says she'll fight Kimberly only if she signs a release to not sue her after she messes up her face.
Jesus.
And I'm like, what? You challenged her. So why are you now, as the face, going, well, you have to sign this or I'm not going to face you? Like, that's a heel move.
Yeah, that's true.
You challenged her to a fight and then went, oh, well, you got to sign this thing first. I know you have a clipboard, but you don't need everybody to sign everything. So Kimberly laughs, signs the paperwork, and Kimberly can't wait to see who the partner is. It's DDP.
Shocker.
Kimberly knows per the restraining order, he can't be within 500 feet, but apparently the contract she signed nullifies that.
Haha, swerve. That was in the fine print. And
that's how that works.
Yeah, legal. Legalese.
So it's Miss Hancock and DDP versus Kimberly and Mr. Muscles. DDP slaps Kimberly's ass, so Kimberly does the Macarena.
Yeah, what?
Stacy dances, so Kimberly just shoves her over.
Cool.
Stacy and Kimberly wrestle. And a lot of quotes.
Yeah, I don't think there's enough quotes in that.
Until the men tag in. DDP hits a diving clothesline on Awesome. They trade pin attempts until DDP tries for a diamond cutter. But Awesome low blows Paige and hits a German suplex. The crowd actually does start a decent DDP chant here.
So the problem is the DDP and Mike Awesome of this is good. The fact that it's paired with Kimberly and Stacy is embarrassing.
Yeah. Well, that portion is mostly over now.
It's embarrassing, though.
Awesome works DDP over in the corner. Paige tries for a comeback, but Awesome cuts him off and hits a jumping splash. Mike Awesome sets up a table at ringside, and then Awesome slams DDP and hits a diving splash. I always love that move. That big fucker hitting a top rope splash.
Yeah. It does. It always looks cool, too. When he does it well.
Awesome tries to hit an awesome bomb through the table at ringside, but Stacy distracts him by standing on the table and showing him some leg.
She, like, rips the slit in her skirt higher.
I thought she just peeled it up. I think she ripped it. Anything.
Oh, no, she definitely ripped it because when she was walking off later, she ripped it too much. And now the skirt's, like, falling off of her.
DDP slips out, hits a diamond cutter for the win.
Woo! Cool. I'm so over the Kimberly of it all.
Yeah. That said, the DDP Mike Awesome portion of this match is the best wrestling we've gotten so far.
But, like, the context.
I don't care.
I do.
I'll just clip that out.
Sorry. No, you're wrong. If you're telling me that match as a whole is better than the match that we just watched, wrong. Wrong.
No, look, I'm not saying Miss Hancock and DDP versus Mike Awesome and Kimberly is better than Sting versus Jarrett. I'm saying DDP versus Mike Awesome is better than Sting.
But that's not a match. That wasn't the match. And if you're going to claim bit, but you can't claim best match.
We'll see if I come up with anything by the end. Backstage, Pamela Paulshock is outside Hulk Hogan's dressing room.
Haven't seen him tonight, so we don't even know if he's actually here.
Hulk has told Pamela he won't fight Horace. Apparently the family feud is over.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
With the benefit of hindsight, she needed very specific verbiage that she did not hit.
Correct.
Because this is meant to set up this whole angle upcoming, and it might have been cool if they had done it properly. But they stumble over all the words and verbiage. It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't know if this is a slight on her as a performer or on the writers for not giving her the right things to say.
Yeah, I could legitimately tough to say here.
Yeah.
So Horace Hogan and Eric Bischoff come out to the ring. Eric Bischoff says Hogan won't be here tonight as Horace sets up a table at ringside.
Yeah, why? If he's not here, what do we do?
I want to put him through a table, Emily.
He's not here. He's not fighting you. Put the table away.
So then Bischoff's like, oh, cool. We get the night off.
Yeah, like he's kind of right. He's like, yeah, I guess we get an early night. Send everybody home early. Like, we're good. He's not here. He's not fighting.
But Hulk Hogan should come down to forfeit. And yeah, the big payoff of this is
Hulk Hogan's not here.
The fucking NWO music hits. I literally felt like a cold chill run through my body when the NWO music hit. I'm like, oh, fuck.
Hulk's not here. Hollywood's here, brother.
That said, it is somehow the most Hulk Hogan thing to be like, No, that's my music. That's not the NWO music. That's been my music the whole time.
Gaslight, Gatekeep, Girl Boss, the NWO theme.
I mean, he's basically Roman Reigns Shield musicing it. So it's Hollywood Hulk Hogan. And he's like, I said Hulk wouldn't fight Horace. I didn't say anything about Hollywood.
Hollywood.
Again, he will turn up one more time. Hollywood tells someone to lower the cage. And I'm like,
this is a cage match?
Yes, which clearly the crew wasn't ready for because they are very suddenly having to move a little bit of the elevated ramp for the cage to lower.
Yeah, because it's like a stage. They have to actually like take a piece of the ramp off. But fucking Hogan is showboating at the top of the ramp, so he's taking his sweet time to get into the ring. Whereas the stagehands are like, get the fuck in the ring. We got to move shit.
So this match is going to be, in reality, longer than the notes I have for it. But tell me if I missed anything. Hollywood beats down Horace, takes off his belt, whips and chokes Horace. Horace kicks a chair into Hollywood, hits a few chair shots. Hogan dodges a shot, grabs a chair, beats down Horace with it, including laying on Horace's face for a leg drop for the win. Yeah.
I guess. Yeah, probably. That sounds about right.
I think it went a little longer, but that's the essence of it.
Tell me why Billy Kidman couldn't be part of this.
Well, Billy Kidman suddenly runs in and is thrown through the table at ringside.
Ah, cool. Glad he was here.
He's looking great for his match against Hogan. He's so going to beat and retire Hulk Hogan on Sunday.
Yeah, for sure.
Can't wait to see Hulk Hogan wrestle at... Hold on, let me find it in my notes.
The July paper.
Yes. That's it. Thank you.
At this point, I want it to be noted that there is 20 minutes left in the file. This is what I do. I check the file when we're towards the end of the show. There are 20 minutes left. We have two matches, and one of those is a gauntlet match.
Yeah.
A gauntlet match.
Which, I guess, related to time, I should go back slightly to the Sting match and the Goldberg match.
Mm.
Because apparently the Goldberg match did not do the rating that they wanted.
Yeah, okay, tell me about this.
The little quarter thing they wanted.
Tell me why Goldberg did not draw the ratings.
I mean, how long was that match?
Like 2 minutes.
Yeah, people tuned in and went, all right, and went back.
Oh.
It's like, yeah, you build Goldberg for a segment at the top of the hour. People knew exactly when to turn up.
And
turned up.
It was over. They could get back to Raw within the, like,
yeah,
within the commercial break.
Yeah.
Damn, that's, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
No, even at the top of the hour, Raw's just turned it on, so you're getting the previously on Raw. The pyro, it's like, yeah, you can miss the first bit.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
The fucking, although, God, at this point, it's probably like a 5-minute Triple H entrance, and then this business.
Are we in the era of Stephanie opening the show of like, my daddy, whatever.
A bit.
Yeah. I know for a while there, she was opening every show really annoyingly.
So, speaking of annoyingly, backstage, Pamela Paulshock says tonight.
How dare you?
This is tonight. Ric Flair, you can choke the life out of Vince Russo.
Press? What? I mean, I'm okay with that.
Rick does a Ric Flair promo. He speeds through it a little bit, but it's still pretty good. It's Ric Flair. He's not going to cut a bad promo.
Yeah, I mean, it was actually pretty good. We haven't gotten a proper Ric Flair promo. I don't think we're ever going to get a Mean Gene ever again.
Pamela, woo, by God.
Pumpkins. I can't remember her name. Her name is Pamela Pumpkins.
Backstage, Russo's on the phone with David. Apparently, he's caught in traffic. So our next match in the, what do you call it? I almost call it Rage in a Cage. It's Caged Heat.
Caged Heat, which is still really stupid.
Which, they don't even call it Caged Heat here. No. They've given up on that.
They're not calling it Hell in a Cell, that's for sure.
It is Ric Flair versus Vince Russo. Flair still in his wrestling gear, but he's wearing red here, and I'm like, oh, fuck.
That's not a good sign. It's very Star Trek of him.
Russo hits a shoulder block and then a sneaky low blow. Russo chops Flair and does a terrible strut. Like, have you not watched wrestling?
No, he probably hasn't.
Rick gets up, rips Russo's shirt, chops him, hits a punting low blow. Back suplex, knee drop, and Russo bails to the floor. Flair throws Russo around the cage and chops him. David Flair suddenly appears from under the ring, but like, not even like a, oh, sneak attack. It's like, oh shit, he's here? Oh.
I've been here the whole time.
Yeah, and he's like immediately begging off from Rick. I'm like, ah, oh, you are his son.
He learned from the best.
So Rick stomps him. David does a Flair turnbuckle spot as Russo tries to get out of the cage, but Reed Flair bites his fingers from going out of the door.
Yeah, very like feral child energy. Honestly, the inclusion of the Flair children, David included, felt very unnecessary. David did not really add or take away anything to this match. He did nothing. And Reed was just like, that's a weird thing for him to just be here to do.
Like, it's not like he's about to turn 18 and, like, we can sign him in a minute.
No, he's, 14?
Thereabouts.
Yeah, no. He's got a softball game. He's going to play with Sid.
Fuck, you beat me to the joke. I was about to go, no, baby, that's Sid.
Sid's his coach.
Russo then sets up a ladder in the ring to escape through a trap door in the ceiling, and he, like, keeps kicking Rick off the ladder. Russo,
what is his plan getting through this trap door? Is his plan to, like, leave the cage and just kind of trick the system? Like, oh, I left the cage, I win.
I don't think it's win. I think it's just like, well, the match is ended because I'm not here anymore. But you challenged... I don't know. Oh, God. Rick and Russo both climb up. Flair hits chops, but Russo pokes him in the eyes and then tries to escape back down into the cage.
Not really escaping.
Somehow during this, the ladder has fallen over. So Russo has to, like, drop down, but Rick stomps his hand, so Russo falls. And then referee Charles Robinson sets up the ladder for Ric Flair to just casually walk down.
Yes, Lil Nate. Lil Nate is the hero we need.
In a spot we're going to talk about a little bit in a second, Ric Flair locks in the figure four on Vince Russo. And he has this fucking thing in for ages.
Yes.
Now, the reason for this is they're about to do a blood drop. They're about to do a blood drop in the center of the ring.
Yes.
Vince Russo's in the center of the ring. He is not the one who's supposed to take this.
So they have to awkwardly shimmy Rick, who's going to be taking the blood, into the center of the ring.
It's also like he keeps reaching for David Flair, like, hey, pull me. And David Flair's not doing this.
No, David does not understand social cues.
Because a big thing around this time is, like, Vince Russo managed to last over a minute in the figure four. Like, God, the NWA is dead. And I'm like, it's a botch, guys. They fucked up. Like, really? Like, that's what, I mean,
that's what we're taking away from this?
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Like, it's the same people that are like, David Arquette has ruined all of wrestling.
Take a deep breath. Go outside. Touch some grass. It's going to be okay.
Like, I did take note of, like, it is kind of funny that it's like, he's just in this hole, doesn't tap out.
Yeah. He's so strong.
But yeah, it's like, he's very clearly trying to set up a spot.
Yeah.
And I'm amazed Rick needed to get in position for this, because eventually Rick gets pulled towards the middle of the ring, and
this has got to be the most violent blood drop we have seen thus far.
I think it's just quantity.
They overcorrected. They were like, we're missing. We need to do more.
It's quantity and, like, it looks like a different...
viscous liquid.
Yeah, like viscosity.
Mm.
Like, it is something different here, because Charles Robinson also gets fucking got here.
Oh, my God. Yeah. And it comes down with, like, power. And that can't be comfy to take. That's not like going through, you know, the water park and getting sprinkled on. Like, this is heavy, and it's not water, so there's definitely some weight to it, but there's just so much, and it goes for longer than you think it should.
It somehow forms a puddle on a flat ring.
Yeah.
David locks in a figure four, and Russo, they pins him somehow with some count. It doesn't fucking matter.
This was the wildest blood drop.
Yeah. I mean, props to him, it hit.
Oh, yeah. They'd be hard-pressed to not hit.
That said, stop doing the blood drop.
Yes.
We're fucking... like,
it's not working. It's not
working. 0-3, 0-4? It's like, you can't do the spot correctly.
Well, they did it eventually. They got there.
But when you have to stall for a full minute and a half...
to get into position? Yeah. Yes. But, like, at least they were aware that they weren't in position. At least it wasn't like a Kevin Nash situation where it's like, oh, there it is next to me. At least they had the wherewithal to know, oh, I gotta move. There's at least that.
Yeah.
Take it where you can get it. There was a point at the beginning of this match, though, that reminds me that the chops that Rick deals out, they are violent.
Well, I don't think they always are.
But this one was. They did a close-up on Russo's chest, and it was, like, blistering.
I think it's a mix of Russo's not used to taking strikes like that, and I don't think Ric Flair likes Vince Russo.
No, I think there was a little bit of shooting that.
So, yeah, so they're still set for the Great American Bash. If Rick loses, he'll retire.
Sure, he will.
This does have the problem that almost every Vince Russo segment does, where Russo's never really, like, fully beaten. It feels like he always ends the segment standing tall.
Well, yeah, I think that's part of his character. He's slimy.
But, like, it's every time. Like, yeah. I'm trying to think of any time where it's like, oh, no, like, he's actually been beat. We fucking noted last week. It's like, usually it's the manager gets knocked off the apron. Oh, that's it. It took like 7 times to get him fucking knocked out. But I could be mistaken. I think Vince Russo leaves the world of wrestling undefeated. And that's counting TNA in the future.
Really?
Yeah.
Jesus.
He might lose one match.
He's so proud. I can't wait to read his book.
You ready to learn about Jesus?
I'm ready to learn what he thinks Jesus has in store for him.
And that's when I booked a first blood match and I put a crown of thorns on him. Oh, Jesus, you're going to die. And they're not going to think you're going to come back in a couple of days. You're going to make them think.
Hey, Jesus did pull the classic wrestler move where he retires and I'll come back. Jesus didn't retire, brother.
And there are swerves. And ladies and gentlemen, we've all been swerved. I got some fucking right here.
Oh my God.
So yeah, that's the end of the show.
No, it's not.
Oh wait, no, sorry. Yeah, our main event tonight.
How the fuck was that not the main event?
Yeah, because I was like, I knew there was a Russo-Flair cage match where blood drops. Like, clearly it's this. That should end the show, because...
Because it's a lot of blood.
The ring's covered.
Definitely don't do a whole ass gauntlet after it.
So yeah, commentary stalls as the crew has to like swap the apron. And they're also at like a new just like fold out table. Because
they keep getting their tables smashed through.
There's blood on the camera.
I love when there's blood on the camera though. I think that's great. I think that's hilarious.
So our main event, it is Kevin Nash running the New Blood Gauntlet.
Ew.
I falsely predicted this would be automatically your worst bit. I was not ready for the hardcore match of
the
show.
Yeah, you forgot. You forgot about the fuckery, brother.
So this match is Kevin Nash versus Disco Inferno, Johnny the Bull, Chris Candido, Vito, Ray, Hoovy, Conan, Stasiak, Palumbo, kind of Mike Awesome, and kind of Vampiro.
Oh my God. This should take an hour.
Oh, and Shane Douglas. Sorry, I didn't note him.
Oh, yeah, Shane Douglas is here. This should be the whole show. How are we going to do this in Chex Notes? 10 minutes.
I'm actually going to ignore my notes here.
Oh, no.
I am going to read the description of this match from an outside site of going through the match times and who beat who.
Okay.
Kevin Nash defeated Disco Inferno in 8 seconds. Kevin Nash defeated Chris Candido in 25 seconds. By the way, that is for the total match, not 25 seconds from the 8 seconds.
At the 25-second point.
Yes. Kevin Nash defeated Johnny the Bull in 30 seconds. Kevin Nash defeated Big Vito in 47 seconds. Kevin Nash defeated Rey Mysterio Jr. in 1 minute and 2 seconds. Kevin Nash versus Sean Stasiak ended in a no contest in 2:13.
Wow.
So
2 minutes.
So what that really is... Disco starts, side slam, pin, actual pin, big boot and jackknife to Chris Candido, and then a jackknife to Johnny the Bull. And referee Slick Johnson just sees these men down and is like, count them.
Yep.
Kevin Nash is not pinning them.
He does pin Ray, I believe.
Yeah.
Very loose.
I don't know that Kevin Nash knows this is going to happen. Vito gets powerbombed, pin, big boot to Ray, who's again not cleared, pin. Everyone not eliminated comes in. So I think when I noted Conan has a match, I didn't realize he's just part of that.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Goldberg makes the save and the New Blood just kind of watches. Like, they do the very much movie. All right, like, one at a time. Everyone take their turn. Yeah, it's bad.
Everyone's just waiting for their cue.
Nash and Goldberg clear the ring. Eric Bischoff comes out. All right, Goldberg, I warned you. On Thunder, I'm going to suspend you.
On Thunder?
You're literally here.
Do it right now.
Yeah.
You're gauntlet only took 2 minutes. We got 8 more minutes to kill.
Goldberg says that if Bischoff suspends him, his ass will be next. And then, why not? Pyro on the corners goes off when he says this.
Great.
Like, what the fuck? Oh, God, I fucking hated this match. And to
match,
add to
you it, even call it a match.
To add to it, Scott Steiner does a lesser version of this on Thunder.
Excellent.
But yeah, Kevin Nash is fucking, he's just so much better than everyone.
Of course he is. He's Kevin Nash.
In hindsight, one of the saving graces is you didn't have Billy Kidman lose in fucking 6 seconds.
I guess that's true.
He wasn't even out here, thank God.
Yeah, you know, he didn't get that kind of buried.
Thank God he got buried by Hulk Hogan. That way he couldn't get buried by Kevin Nash.
Yeah, at least if he gets buried by Hulk Hogan, he, like, it still makes sense for him to have a match with Hulk Hogan, but, like...
Yeah, I mean...
It's all going to be bad.
I mean, the New Blood is already being presented as a joke, but holy shit, I don't think you could have... they're dead. Mm-hmm. This is them...
R.I.P.
Yeah. You cannot make them look worse
right.
than this here. That,
right.
Was it five or six guys who were notable? Some of them are notable talents.
Yes. Talents that you've kind of been building up. Like Shane Douglas. Shane Douglas is not like nobody.
Well, he didn't get pinned here, but...
He came out in the brawl, though.
Yes. But like, yeah, fucking... Yeah, Disco's one thing of like, whatever, you want to make him a joke. Because like... Chris Candido was
like,
just the Cruiserweight champion. Like, John of the Bull and fucking Vito. You're like, oh yeah, hardcore champions now. And
nothing.
Yeah, I was kind of curious how far they would go with it, but in terms of just burying everybody. But
this is the best that WCW had to offer in front of their bosses.
Oh, and they do a swerve on Thunder.
Sure
of,
they do.
Or a double swerve of, oh, because... Jeff Jarrett got attacked so badly he can't defend the title. And then Kevin Nash comes down, hits Jarrett with a baseball bat, and Jarrett's like, no, I'm actually healed, but also I'm cowering away because you have a baseball bat.
Cool. What?
Why even? Yeah. I think, what? Okay. So we have a bunch of matches for the Great American Bash.
Are you excited?
I'm excited to get the pay-per-view.
I'm sad that this is the pay-per-view that we have to watch. And it's the one that's in Baltimore.
So I did go back and look. This is actually not the longest we've gone between WCW pay-per-views.
Okay.
The longest would have been when we did the three-episode arc of episode 100, 101, and 102. But in terms of purely watching the in-timeline shows,
this
is the longest
we've been.
This
is the longest.
Yeah. Because it was five Nitros, a Thunder, and an ECW show.
Jesus. Well, we get that to look forward to, I guess, if you could even say looking forward to it.
We do have one more step before the Great American Bash, Emily, and that is best bit, worst bit, and MVP. So I am curious what you come up with now for best bit and all that.
I had the Jeff Jarrett versus Sting match written down. I still think that's the best wrestling that we got on the show, if we're going to give it that. I think that the blood drop was really hilarious with everything around it, so that's like an honorable bit.
That's the problem, is like, that is hilarious.
It's hilarious.
But for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah, yeah. I think I'll still give it to Jarrett and Sting. I stand by that.
Yeah, and I'm going to stand by mine. It's Mike Awesome versus DDP.
Now, are you claiming that's a match, or are you claiming that's a bit?
I think that's a ball. It's a bit of a match.
Then that's fine. That I am allowing. If you're not claiming that to be an entire match on its own, fine. Who'd you choose for your worst bits?
I chose the main event. I chose Kevin Nash fucking burying everybody.
Wrong.
Look, it was a poor version of it, but I've seen the hardcore match start at one point and finish at a later point.
I have never seen it that egregious.
Yeah, this was bad, but...
No, but, like, to talk about the main event, like, you're right. That shit sucked. It's a gauntlet. It should not have been over in 2 minutes and 16 seconds. That's ridiculous.
And to the point where I'm like, I don't even think it was because they're out of time. I think that's exactly what they wanted.
Yes, that was how that was booked.
I almost think if they had more time, more guys would have gotten buried.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's Kevin Nash, I always think his finger's somewhere in the fucking pie.
100%.
And yours is the Eric Bischoff.
Oh, mine is absolutely the hardcore match segment fiasco, whatever the fuck you want to call that. I think that was an embarrassment to wrestling, an embarrassment to women. It's something that I would never want to show anybody because it's shameful.
All right, then, Emily, I struggled with this one. Who is your MVP?
Give it to Goldberg. Fuck it.
Yeah. I wrote Goldberg, I guess. Maybe Flair.
Oh, no. There was no second. I just... Goldberg.
Maybe Flair for just getting fucking doused in the blood, but yeah, Goldberg, you know, this show's all about him.
Yeah, it made sense. He beat Tank Abbott.
He did bring the most value. I know our definition of MVP varies per episode sometimes, but
he did what he needed to do. He came back and he destroyed Tank in a short ass match. He put to rest the Ghostberg bullshit. Tank should never have to fucking speak again. And that, to me, makes him my all-time MVP.
Yeah, unfortunately, Goldberg is suspended for 90 days without pay on Thunder.
Are you
so
kidding me?
Yeah, man, we won't see him for a while, I guess.
Definitely not next episode.
Definitely nothing bad will happen with Goldberg at the next episode, which is the Great American Bash. That's up next.
Let's go.
But before you listen to the next Great American Bash, you can listen to Great American Bash 99 and all of our back catalog, everywhere podcasts are found except for SoundCloud. You can follow us on social media at Butts in the Pod, almost everywhere besides Facebook, where we're the Butts in the Seats podcast. Over on Patreon, we recently reviewed Bash the Beach 94, Hulk Hogan's debut, and we're back to chugging along the new Monday Night Wars for TNA.
If you guys have been missing out on Hogan on this podcast, head over to the Patreon, because that's basically all we fucking talk about.
They did a little vote over there. We've shifted to two TNAs and then something else, and then TNA. Two TNAs, something else. But Emily, the long build is finally over. Thank Our next God. Episode is the Great American Bash in Balmer, hun.
Balmer!
Any final thoughts before we get there?
It was funny, this show, that they did a little shout-out to like a Barnes & Noble in Baltimore on a street that I recognized. It's like, oh, I know where that is.
It's not even in Baltimore.
It's in White Marsh.
It's in Scarsdale.
Anyway.
Well, until you learn your proper Baltimore geography, I'm Nick. And thanks for listening to this educational episode of the Bust the Seats podcast.